Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Long Island, New York, the best wrestling podcast in the world, Joseph Crush, Nikki Noodles, Bad News Canali, and Nick Jersey, the Wrestling Journal Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 46 of the Wrestling Journal Podcast, brought to you by WrestleBuzz, at WrestleBuzz on Instagram, at WrestleBuzz with three Z's on Twitter. Hey, it's Joseph Crush. I'm here with the boys. If you don't know him already, let's meet him. NG3, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, everyone. Let me talk to you.
It's a new gimmick.
No, I just love that little line. I mean, listen, LA Knight's my guy, but that's my opening line. I have to, because hey, we're gonna talk to you, right? And I want them to listen to what we're talking about.
It makes sense. It's we'll get a t-shirt made.
Oh, we should.
Nikki Noodles. Good morning. So very vibrant today.
Good morning. Sure. Yeah, I'm styling in the lime green, ready to go for you guys. Top of the morning.
Maybe one
sun's
day,
out, lime green's out.
Maybe one day the listeners could see us and.
Maybe we'll go live.
How beautiful you are. And good old Bad News, Tom Canali. What's up, man?
TikTok, boys. TikTok.
Oh, shit.
What are you alluding to?
look at the foreshadowing of the episode. So before we get going, I have another. So last week I had a story time for you guys. This week I have a visual like surprise slash gift for you. I wanted raw reactions again. That's how we do things on the show.
Ooh.
I had this certain thing made for Christmas, and you know, it's March.
Easter. You're the Easter bunny.
This would now be an Easter gift. COVID happened. I had a baby. Just a lot of things went on. So, I want to present to you guys limited edition. Only 4 made in the world. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not too underwhelming, because it might be.
I'm amped right now. Like, I'm totally amped.
Well, only 4 in the world is off to a good start. Yeah. The intrigue is built.
Our very own
Wrestling
Journal podcast.
Tumblers.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
Very nice.
I love it.
Love it.
That's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
So I have 4 of them. Gorgeous. We each got one. And listen, I'll post them on the Instagram. If anyone wants one, hit me up.
There we go. Get the merch.
We'll discuss. Nice.
Merch
we'll discuss
going.
We'll
that's
discuss
our first official merchandise.
And that's a la Courtney Davidoff Productions. She makes good stuff. So, yeah,
that's
so.
Her son of a bitch husband didn't tell me this. And he's in my house almost every week now.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good secret keeper.
Yeah. Well, I'm
surprised.
Sure.
You should probably dock his pay, though, for that betrayal.
Listen, between us, he doesn't know he's not getting paid for this. He's just doing it for free. Don't tell him, though. Don't tell him.
So it's actually pretty legit. I believe hand washed. Don't put these in the dishwasher. Okay. But yeah, they're fucking cool, man. It's legit. Dude. So
yeah, very nice. Listen, thank you, Joey. That's a wonderful
gesture. What a surprise, and you delivered. Now, that's a delivery that I can get into, which was not the same thing. I can stay for that finish of that exploding barbed wire death match.
Ooh,
but
dude,
yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think if you're a wrestling fan, not like Nicky Noodles, you're aware of what happened last Saturday or last Sunday on AEW Revolution. It's been a week since it's happened, so I'm assuming you know the finishes and the debuts and stuff. But real quick, boys, I just want to get obviously the main points stick out, but for you, NJ3, we obviously know the lack thereof on the ending there, but did the show, the negative of that part, did that outweigh the positives of the show for you? Did it ruin the whole event, or did you enjoy yourself and then that just kind of just put a little damper?
I definitely enjoyed myself. I think I said this in the group chat. I think AEW's in a very unique situation. They're kind of playing with house money. I always kind of use that analogy because they're the wrestling company run by wrestlers, right? Isn't that like their motto? The wrestling company run by wrestlers versus what happens up north. So I think what they do, even though we can kind of critique it and really kind of, you know, hammer into certain segments and areas and handling of certain things, I think that overall the show still delivered. right? I mean, I want to make sure you guys have your time to say what, you know, you want about what stuck out to you. But I thought the opening match with the tag match was a great opener. That was awesome. The Young Bucks are hitting right now at the highest level. MJF and Jericho, which obviously we'll get to in AEW Dynamite, but that they were a great team. They were perfect in that segment. The ladder match was really good. We got a debut in the ladder match. Scorpio Sky won. There's a lot of good things to hold on to in that, into that whole night. And that street fight, I want to make sure we don't forget about that, but I actually legitimately enjoyed that. Way to use Sting in a way that you were able to protect him and not have to have him be a technical magician in the ring, but let his icon status be what stood above in that match, in that moment of how cool that was. Well done cinematically. Well done. A lot of other points, but just want to hit on a couple things. But long story short, Joey, no, that ending did not ruin the show for me.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same boat as you. It definitely was odd. It was definitely lackluster, to say the least, anticlimactic. But when that's what she said. I went into that match. I wasn't even focused on. I know a lot of people were, and how they promoted the 30-minute countdown to the whole ring exploding and stuff like that. And then we get that dud of like sparklers and smoke bombs. But I wasn't even like looking forward to that part. I just wanted to see the actual, how they were going to work the match itself. And I think Kenny and Moxley did a fantastic job. I think they went out there and they tore the house down with what they were given for something we haven't seen in American wrestling in a very long time, since like ECW shit, right? Mm-hmm. So it was bloody. They did some really crazy spots onto barbed wire, which we don't see often at all anymore, especially in WWE.
Cactus Jack and Terry Funk days.
Yeah, and like they rarely brought up barbed wire in the Attitude Era. So like it's been a while since we've seen something like that. So for the explosion at the end, it sucked, but it shit just happens. And then we'll get into Dynamite and how they handled it, which could be is another story. But bad news. Just thoughts on Revolution and maybe whatever you like. Did the explosion ruin your time, or did you enjoy the show? Otherwise.
No, I definitely enjoyed the show and everything. I mean, the match itself was absolutely insane. You know, like you said, the ball boy. I mean, when Moxie hit the paradigm shift that spot was like, oh, fuck. Okay, that's like really yow. Well, you know, it was crazy shit. But I mean,
you say yowie wowie.
Yeah, but, yeah, I got tongue tied.
You're such a fiend.
What's his name, Mr. Bully Ray on Twitter? Now he's been a big critic of AEW in the past, and he tweeted right after it went off. He goes, "The only thing they remember is the finish," and he got that quote from one Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So I mean, if that's what it's going to be known for, I don't know. But overall, I enjoyed the show. I really did. The street fight was cool. The ladder match was cool. And everything, but I mean, we're talking about the finish, because like you said, that's all people are going to remember, unfortunately. I mean, it sucks. I mean, like I said, the match was cool, but just the finish was like, I mean, when freaking the countdown started and you had Kingston come in and it was like on top of him, like, holy fuck, are we about to witness a murder for real here? Like,
yeah,
the way he was pulling it off, and then that happened. I was like, wait, what just happened? I'm like, was that supposed to happen, type of thing, but you know.
Now, I have questions, and Nick, we'll get to you shortly. Well, first of all, the Eddie Kingston babyface turn is like, I loved the shit out of that. That made so much sense for him to come down and save his brother from his whole life. And that was so good. And then for it not to happen, and for Kingston to have to sell something happen like that, that's what threw me off, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's tough. It's like, and like you said, Vince always says, they'll remember the finish, and unfortunately this pay-per-view will be remembered by that.
Yeah,
but we know as fans that the show is still good. So I don't know. Noodles, I know you weren't able to catch the whole thing, but just you have reactions and you've seen clips since last Saturday. Just, and I know we all know you're not the biggest AEW fan, but just thoughts on like what happened and what you, I mean, expectations.
Well, at first thought, though, like you would think like that scene, since it was supposed to be some glorious ending, that they probably would have done a few more trial runs to make sure that thing was up the bar.
I have a quick, when you're done, Nick, I do have a quick way.
I thought they could have ended that.
No. I want you to get your thought. I had this epiphany of like, if they would have ended the match like this, it would have actually sold, but no, please.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, you think that was something that'd be something that they would have like practiced quite a number of times to make sure the timing was right, that all the pyros were in good graces there. You know, because it's hard to sell something like that when something doesn't go the way it's supposed to. Everyone's in an awkward spot, so it's going to make it look even worse than it already is. It shouldn't take away from the actual match and the story that was told. Right at the end of the day, Omega went over, and that was the main gist of what went down. But listen, that should, when you sign up for those things, accidents happen, right? Like, remember Hogan when he faced Warrior the second time in WCW, tried to light his face on fire. It was a bust, right? You always remember those things that don't happen the way it's supposed to. But that's why, like, when you did so many things so well up until that point by, you know, going hardcore that we haven't seen in years, you know, you didn't have to go that extra mile. They maybe could have just left that part out and saved that for another time. You know, they didn't have to throw everything in the kitchen sink in the one first time out, you know. I think it just too many things have to go right for that to be magical. And they fell short one time. And that would happen to be the biggest moment of the whole show.
Yeah, it sucked. Jersey, you just want to hit us with the point
you're going. Yeah, no, you know what's funny, Nick, when you were talking, like, I was thinking in my head, right, the one, you know, those cool spots that we would see in WWE when they would suplex a big guy off the top rope and the ring would implode.
The ring always, but always went down.
I'm thinking, right, and I'm thinking, get in my head, I'm like, AEW hasn't done that yet, right? How cool would it have been, right? I thought when you got the shotgun drop kicks to Omega and you got the puffs and the bangs and he sold it, everything leading up to the finish I thought was legit, cringeworthy, hard-hitting, exactly what they were anticipating for this match to be. Why not cut the ring out, let it drop? They've cut the actual ring itself and have people emerge from it before. Why not cut a part of the ring or cut a couple parts and let a huge puff of smoke and a big bang happen? And then when you go back, Ambrose is either gone or he looks like he's destroyed. Like,
it was many make options. It like a big I agree.
Bang pop moment. I would have loved that. I think that would have been a cool way to be like,
I'm surprised they didn't sell that finish. They didn't try to do like, maybe like, you know, go like the Kane route, you know, with the flames that go on the turnbuckles and then the ring collapse. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like something unique like that. You have smoke machines all over the place. I mean, there's other ways you could have went for it. I think when you put anything into the emphasis of an explosion or some type of, pyro, sometimes it could be risky because it doesn't always go off right.
Yeah, and then like the fact that you said the hype up for it, you think
that's another thing that, you know, anytime you hype something up that big and that with of that magnitude, when it falls short, you really hurt yourself. There's no real recovery there at all.
And speaking of hype, that big announcement of a signee, one would think the way they were talking about it. And obviously this is ad nauseum. This has been talked about all week, so we don't want to go too hard on it, but you're thinking Lesnar, CM Punk, people said John Cena, people said The Rock, maybe he hasn't Angle. Been around, and Kurt Angle's still a stretch for me at this point.
Yeah.
We get Christian Cage, I should say.
Yeah.
Now listen, this is, and again, this has been said a lot, no disrespect to the man, Christian. Great work.
Great career. Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not his fault.
It's not.
No, it's not.
Absolutely not.
You come out and say something like that. The Hall of Fame worthy talent is true.
Yeah, he is a Hall of Famer. No question.
Then Tony Khan coming out and saying, like, it's just the way they made it seem. I get it. It's business, right? At the end of the day, Vince would have did this, we would have said it's a business move. You want people to buy the pay-per-view to see what's going to happen. But don't, like, try to counteract and say, we're sticking with our guns here. Like, you can't – this isn't what – you hyped this up to be, like, a lot less than what it was. And we'll get into Dynamite soon, where he's now potentially inserted in a storyline already. But just – bad news, just quick thoughts on Christian being the debut.
I mean, like you said, I mean, after a few weeks and, you know, everyone's speculating like, oh, it's going to be someone like crazy. And then it turns out to be him. I mean, like you said, no disrespect to him, wasn't his fault, but I mean, it just doesn't move the needle. It really doesn't. I mean, no. The guy hasn't wrestled in what, 5 years or whatever it was, I think. It's been 7 years, a while.
Since 7 years, maybe.
But yeah, wherever it's been, but it's just like, I mean, I don't know. Just like when that happened, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, what is this, TNA 2.0 type of thing with all the guys they're bringing over?
You get a lot of WCW 2.0 and TNA 2.0. But like at this point, when you have your, in their defense, they have their core guys that they're bringing up on their own, right? They have all these young guys that are still learning. They have to bring over guys like that.
Yeah.
They can't. Maybe the way they announced it was wrong, but like they're still
that's absolutely.
They call it WCW 2.0 all the time because they have to bring over veterans. They can't just let green guys that don't know the business come over and work. You have to have guys that need to show them the way. And even if the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, et cetera, are all veterans of the game, they still haven't experienced a lot of like American television show. So like they've been in Japan and stuff like that, Ring of Honor. This is their biggest show they've been on. So they're probably still getting used to like camera angles and stuff like that, I would think. I mean, I'm just jumping the gun here, but hold on 1 second. I think Jersey dipped out here. They knocked out the electric. Okay. He's getting work done in his house, so they knocked out his electric. He got disconnected from the call.
That's certainly coming out of someone's pay.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking it's okay that he's there. Just the way the hype up for it was definitely interesting.
Can I say something, Joe?
Sure, absolutely.
I don't think this is as big as a reflection or a knock on Christian as it is the disappointment in AEW at this point for a lot of people, I think. Yeah. Right? Like Christian's is great. He's fantastic at what he's done. He's had a tremendous career. The hype was a little underwhelming, I guess, for people that are maybe hoping that it was John Cena or Brock Lesnar or whatever. But I think it's more of a, you know, disappointment at AEW because, again, all the things that they say they weren't and how much different they were going to be than everyone else. And here they are doing the same thing as WWE normally would do. But now they're taking guys that WWE don't want, right? WWE didn't want anything to do with Christian anymore. And here now they're hyping up their biggest signing ever is Christian. Like, again, not Christian's fault, but it's AEW doing everything WWE does and think that they're innovating the world and they're not doing anything different. They're doing the same shit and it's at a lower level. Over and over and over again.
But at this point, it's hard to like. How could you not repeat a lot of things that WWE does?
I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. However, you can't say you're different and you hate how Vince McMahon does business, but you're conducting it the same way, just on a much smaller scale.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't want to dig too deep on hating on the show, but I get what you're saying, and I agree.
I mean, right? You just said it, you just tweeted alluded to it a little while ago. Christian's first match back in AEW. He's going to go wrestle the champion.
Yeah, we think
he's going to wrestle. He's going to wrestle the champion, guaranteed. And is it believable that he's going to win? Probably not. But what does he do after that? Right, when you set the bar so high, he's going to come in, lose to Omega, and then what do you do with the guy?
Yeah,
that's the only thing. I mean, you got to be careful when you do certain things like that because to me, when you bring in a guy like Christian or anyone big with that type of hype, he's got to go over. He's got to win. That's the whole point of bringing him in.
Yeah.
Him to come in and lose, and then you throw everything out the window right out the gate, and then say, see you later.
Or you can argue that he's there to put over.
Then do that from the start. Don't hype it up like Brock Lesnar's coming, and then you're giving him Christian. Again, not Christian's fault.
Yeah, no, absolutely
not. His fault at all. I don't know. So we mentioned the Sting match. Did you like how they handled Sting in his first appearance? Noodles,
because absolutely. I mean, there's not too many options that they really had, and this was one of the best ways to get his feet wet. I don't know if he's gonna have full-fledged matches down the road. He may have one more great one in him for sure, but this is a way to get him back in the game, right? I mean, he hasn't really wrestled since Rollins dropped him on the turnbuckle, so you know, it's a nice process to ease him along, get him back in ring shape. And at the end of the day, Sting will always be able to deliver the spots that he needs to deliver because he's a legend.
Yeah.
He'll always be able to deliver in those big moments. But it's nice to see them, you know, kind of keep the training wheels on while other guys do all the main work.
I still think, and I'll say this forever, missed opportunity doing a cinematic match in WWE with him and Undertaker for Undertaker's last match.
Of course. I mean, that'll always be something that
biggest miss ever.
That'll haunt them forever. But I think the problem was they didn't try to do it early enough when it was needed. And they waited too long and they didn't want to take the shot of it being, you know, a bust. And that's where they were headed to at that point, especially given Sting's predicament over the last 5 years. And Taker was not having any type of impressive matches for his last 5 years either, up until his last one or two.
Yeah. Well, we never needed Authority versus Sting. We never needed Triple H versus Sting. We needed Triple H. We needed Sting versus the Undertaker. That was always the match. It was always the match. That's just another something that organically built over the years of having the guy from WCW and the guy from WWE or WWF at the time, you know, collide. That was the match, and they never lost.
That and Goldberg and Austin were the two biggest misses of all time.
Yep. Goldberg and Austin, I mean, it would have been a good Titanic build, but the match itself wouldn't have been good.
It would have been quick, but Austin would have went over, and that's all everyone would have wanted anyway.
I know, but like, I don't, I don't know. For me, for that, I don't enjoy those matches as much as maybe other people do. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. It's cool. There was no two bigger heights than those two at that time.
No, for sure. But just because they're at the peak doesn't mean they're going to deliver the match. I think Sting and Undertaker would have delivered. You know what I mean?
It just certainly would have been better because they're more wrestlers per se. Goldberg's not really a wrestler per se, but Austin always held his own.
Oh, I'm never worried about Stone Cold. That's what I'm worried about.
Big Bill.
Yeah.
Now with Revolution ending, we head into Wednesday night with Dynamite. Pretty astronomical things happen there. Mainly one thing that sticks out that ended the show. Jersey, do you want to run over what inspired there?
Absolutely. I mean, boys, listen, we're smart enough to know that MJF and Jericho, that love relationship they have, that friendship, that tag team they have, that cohesion, that partnership of the Inner Circle, we knew that couldn't last forever, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. MJF is the biggest heel in pretty much the company now, I guess, against Kenny Omega, but I still feel like MJF is still the better heel versus Kenny Omega. That's just my opinion. And when you see them having a war council, when you see Jericho saying, all right, well, you know what happens in a war council? We have to shift strategies, change things up, maybe add someone. MJF's like, no, we're going to lose someone. And I'm like, oh boy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Because that means they're going to try to, they're going to do the whole thing with, possibly kicking Jericho out, right? Because that's what we thought. Well, that's what I thought, that Jericho was going to be the face turn. MJF was going to take on the Inner Circle. And then Jericho's going to have a nice face run to maybe end his main run in AEW. Okay. Just my, thinking. Then Sammy Guevara comes out. You have the backstage camera footage of the boys saying, yeah, let's turn on Jericho. But let's be honest, you don't turn on Les Champion if you're in the Inner Circle, I guess, unless for MJF. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, I did not see what happened afterwards coming. So, Inner Circle, of course, stood with Jericho. Sammy Guevara was back. And then the lights went out and the lights came back on. And boys, we got our Horsemen faction. Mm-hmm. We got it. We've been asking for it. Who is the leader? We thought maybe Cody. We thought someone else. It's MJF all along, right, Tommy?
Mm-hmm. And yep. All along.
Boys, that moment made me so damn proud to watch at that night, to see MJF stand pretty much new version of Four Horsemen, FTR, Tully Blanchard, the chairman, Sean Spears, and that beautiful man, Wardlow.
Fucking
what a battle. And at the end, we are signing up for a faction versus faction feud that could take me through the summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was left speechless,
dude. I mean, when I saw that, I saw that, first of all, I thought Sammy was going to come out and I thought they were going to turn on, I thought Sammy was going to come back with MJF, and it was like a master plan they had going the whole time. That was like my quick thinking.
That would have been pretty cool,
I still would have been on board with that. Yeah. When we saw the lights go out and fucking, first of all, Wardlow just gets me, how he gets me going.
Monster.
Just seeing him there with FTR and Sean Spears and Tully, it felt so much more legit.
Yeah.
And what they did to Jericho, man, or what they did to everybody, yeah. And then what they did to Jericho and Wardlow just fucking yoking him up. I thought he was going to drop him for a second, but he just fucking yoked him up, dude. Yep. Jericho's not no Buck 85 anymore, boys. He ain't no cruise. let's be honest here. He's had his fair share of vodka over the years. So to see him yoke him up and just fucking powerbomb off the stage, it just like, and the scene afterwards, just them looking down, mm-hmm. That's a legitimate faction right there. Yeah. I think, because like, all right, Inner Circle starts, you have to get used to the combination of all five guys. But we get guys in here, MJF and Wardlow have made their cases the past 2 years, whatever, however long, a year and a half, however long they've been around. FTR is proven. Sean Spears, we've been asking for him. Where has he been?
Finally, yes.
Finally, he's in a meaningful thing. And then Tully's been doing work, man. Shout out to Tully for wrestling on Revolution as well. Wait, was it Revolution or the week before? I forget, whatever.
Week before, whatever.
Shout out to Tully. But we get this insane faction, and dude, I mean, I'm jacked up for what's, like Jersey said, this could take us through the summer, man. We can get like a 5-on-5 deal. It could be interesting. Noodles, just thoughts on this.
Nah, it was super cool, man. Super cool. Shout out to Jake Hagar taking that bottle to the forehead, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Not night, dude. Wow. There was glass in the ring and guys are getting thrown around all over the place. I was like, oh man, the guys are going to be getting cut up and all that. But no, it was super cool, man. It was, I always like big emphatic turns like that, man. You know what I mean? Like it gets you jacked up and you see the beatdown that they were delivering and Jericho just taking shot after shot after shot, the ball bat, the ring to the face. It was cool, man. It was definitely a throwback. MJF has started a very powerful faction and it gives a good insight to what will be happening throughout the summer and the battles that they'll have. And, you know, hopefully Jericho has one more great run in him before, you know, he goes off and does his next thing.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. Tom, just I mean, we're all big fans of heel turns, faction formings, and a lot of like shock value things. And this
shock
is like,
value is really right up your alley.
This is all in one here. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, just awesome. Like we said, finally give Sean Spears something to do. I mean, the poor guy from WWE was doing nothing here. He was doing nothing. Now they finally have him in something. So happy to see that. And was it him that did the shot on Sammy with the chair? I mean, that was when he pushed his face into it.
Yeah, it was.
That was fucking brutal. So now that was very cool. And everything, but no, just very, very happy to see this. It's going to be awesome. FTO. I mean, just look at that. Let's look at that group, man. Give Wardlow a chance to shine now and everything. And FTR will be doing their thing. It's just very, very, very cool. And I'm very interested where this is going to lead. Obviously, it's going to be them versus Inner Circle. But, I mean, are they going to, you know, try to run, you know, AEW, you know, everything? Because that's a lot of star power right there. It's going to be
a lot.
And under the leadership of Tully, you know, that guy, he's known to be in groups, you know, for his career. So it's going to be very cool to see. I can't wait.
I'd love to see what they come out like with their official like stable name, because you know,
yeah, it's gonna be a cool one.
If AEW is good at one thing, it's really sticking like with nostalgia and like kind of doing old school stuff like that. So I'd be surprised to see they don't go like an old school route. I've seen some names fly around. I saw someone said the Pinnacle was an option. I'm not sure if that really makes any sense. I mean, it makes sense, but like I don't know if that's like I'm sure it's something I can get used to, but. I don't know. We'll see what they come up with the name for them.
It's good to see they're releasing the Beast and Wardlow.
Yeah.
Finally, the training wheels are off and they're going to unleash the monster.
I'll pipe you down one big way. Tank top with his hair wild.
Dude.
Monster.
Come on.
Yeah, chills, man. I don't know. I mean, there was Jersey, you want to keep going? You want me to continue with AEW? Are you able to settle down? I don't want to keep you
No, I mean let's keep rocking and rolling. I mean, That was obviously a huge point of AEW, what I love seeing. I thought the TNT championship match was good because we did get a turn that we maybe didn't see coming, another swerve. So what I'm alluding to is that Scorpio Sky won the ring casino, whatever you want to call the ladder, Revolution, Future of the Revolution ladder ring match. I don't know
what the fuck it was.
So pretty much we had a great match. Two very talented young guys, which is so smart. And like when I'm watching the match, I'm like, this is what I want to see for TNT championship matches. I want to see guys like this going at it and give us everything. It just makes too much sense. After the match, it looks like Scorpio Sky had enough because he did lose and he wasn't having it and he did turn heel. So I know he hasn't been really wrestling with SCU as often. So I guess maybe he's going to go on like a little singles run, but looks like he's going to want a singles heel run. So I guess, Tommy, I don't know, man. What do you think about Scorpio Sky turning heel?
I mean, it seems, you know, heel turns obviously seem to help guys' career, and I'm hoping to see this does something for him because, you know, now I say he's been, like, lacking on TV, but we haven't really seen him. We've seen him here and there, but you would think him winning the brass ring, ladder, whatever the hell it was, you know, and they end up losing. Maybe this is like, you know what? You know, they build it up that he's going to be the future, and then he loses. So, you know, maybe this is motivation of – you know, turn heel and everything. But no, I mean, I'm happy to see, you know, what he's going to do with it. And I hope they use him to some, maybe feuds with Darby Allin for a little bit, whatever, but we'll see what happens with him. But good to see him turn heel, because not that SCU was not being used, but it's just, I don't know, it just didn't feel like him doing a single face run wasn't really doing anything for him. So hopefully this heel thing works out.
I'm with you, Tom. I think it's a good point. I think with Daniels and Kazarian, I think the two of them, being at a different part of their career than Scorpio Sky is, I think it makes sense for them to kind of have the run that they're having, which is pretty much once they lose that they're done kind of thing. I think Scorpio Sky, I think he's got a lot more time left in his quote unquote runs. So I think I couldn't agree with you. I think having Scorpio Sky turn heel could be exactly what they needed for him because his wrestling was never in question. I just think that I want to say like people like us love the work he does because we appreciate how good he is in the ring. But unfortunately, the fans that aren't, I guess, similar to our thought process, maybe don't connect with him as easily. So now turning him heel could be what I guess he needs as overall to really kind of push him more towards the top. So
get that edge. You need that edge sometimes, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So although that stood out, I mean, the main event time was, which was great. Hangman and looks like him and Dark Order having a great time. I mean, nothing makes me happier than seeing John Hungy happy. I mean, it's just, I really root for that guy. Joey, I know you're a big fan of Maki Ito. I hope I pronounced her name right. Maki Ito. Now the match, Joey, in my opinion, wasn't like groundbreaking.
Yeah.
No. Her coming out and singing was obnoxious.
Yeah.
And then when she ducked a punch from Shida and she kept singing, it had me cracking up.
Yeah.
And she's oozing of charisma and personality, yes. Girl. I know you appreciate that kind of stuff. What do you think about, I guess, Maki Ito maybe being around a little bit longer now?
So she definitely gives a little spunk to the women's division, which I think they need. She needs to work on some things. I don't know if you guys saw like her when she had the microphone, she was delivering some shots to I forget who it was over the head, and it was very it was bad. But the character itself was definitely entertaining. It's different. And she throws up a metal finger here and there, which is always fun. I think it's like she's like a happy-go-lucky singing star, and then she comes out and she can turn with a flip of the switch. So I think it's an interesting character that I'm willing to not invest in, but get on board with to see where they go with her. I'm not saying she's going to be a champion, but it's just entertaining, and that division needs something.
So. They just need a little respect to start with. That'd be the first place you go to.
That could be it. I don't know, but I'm on board. We're still in the early stages, but let's say I'm a Maki Ito guy, and that's unfortunate for her career.
We all know how that pans out.
Yeah. So
the kiss of death.
Yeah, it's absolutely a kiss of death. NJ3, you still with us here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I just want to make sure you dipped that for a second.
Yes, all I right. did. I didn't realize that, so I do apologize. My wife. No
okay, no worries.
My apologies, but I was just saying. Anything else that we kind of missed on AEW that we kind of want to talk about? I think we hit on the Horsemen, the Scorpio Sky turn, Maki Ito. I mean, Cody just keeps winning quick match. So there's I guess nothing really to say about it. He's just racking up wins. He's just Triple H of AEW.
You can argue
the great Britt Baker doing her thing.
Well, next week we have a main event. I guess a lights out street fight between her and Thunder Rosa. I think I can't remember in recent memory of the last time the women are going to main event Dynamite. So I'm
first
actually
time.
I'm pretty intrigued about this. I like that because these two actually feel like. I actually feel invested in these two. So I'm excited to see this match.
Over under is three commercials during the match. Who's taking the over? Who's taking the under?
I'm going under. I'm going two. Picture as I would say, restaurant quality. Picture in picture.
Yeah, JR.
I say the whole match is picture in picture.
Oh.
Tommy, turn heel.
Bitter. But
look at the history of it. I mean, come on.
I mean, listen, NXT doesn't do any better with their picture.
Tommy plays the stats. Tommy plays the percentages, and he's a prime time player.
But Joey, NXT, what do you think? Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna do it, man.
Listen, we had two announcements that were being teased, right? And let's be honest, you know, we're in the dirt sheets a lot. We're watching our sources. I mean, we thought one of the announcements was that they're going to Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
There. We thought going to Tuesday night. And then what I thought the second announcement was that they were going to have a part to play in WrestleMania weekend. That was my thought. I didn't think they were going to have a two-part to play on WrestleMania week. What I'm alluding to is that NXT TakeOver is not going to be one. It's going to be two nights. Okay. So they have obligations with obviously USA Network. And they have to run one of their shows on USA, which makes sense, right? Their Wednesday night show. But their Thursday night show will be on the Peacock. So if you don't know, you need Peacock to watch the second night of TakeOver, and you need Peacock to watch WrestleMania. That's interesting. I think it's a smart play. It's a smart ploy. You want to get Peacock to stream something before you have the big event go off exclusively, right? Yeah. All that traffic, all that bandwidth to their servers. You want to make sure that they got everything in order before WrestleMania. Because what you do not want is you don't want a dud of buffering, dropping service. Please call your provider. Please contact us. You do not want that. So I applaud NXT and WWE for doing this approach, because you want to make sure you have all your stuff in order. So real cool, real smart. And then obviously I want to get your guys' opinion on that. I guess my thought process, if you even thought about that, or if you thought that's the reason why they're doing it. And then we got a NXT Women's Tag Team Championship titles debuted and provided to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. So before I go into my rant about how I feel about that, I guess, Nick, what do you think? You think it's a good idea that they're going to run two nights of TakeOver? We have enough matches. And do you think my idea of making sure Peacock is up and running for Mania is a big reason why they're doing it?
I think it probably has something to do with it, right? I mean, because NXT is popular. It's big. It's going to bring in a large audience. So there's nothing like having a nice little trial run the day before where, you know, it's one thing, you know, you have big traffic on, you know, regular pay-per-views, but a lot of people come out of the woodworks of Mania, right? At the end of the day, it's something big. It's massive. You're going to have hundreds of millions of people watching it. So yeah, they got to be prepared to be able to take that onslaught of eyes. No question about it. And I think they have plenty of material and plenty of matches to be able to pull off two nights. They've brought in some new wrestlers. They're going to see some debuts. And I think you're going to see a lot of matches get their time, 20, 30 minute matches, and guys getting their due diligence to showcase to the world who they are and elevate themselves to the next level of the main roster at some point.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Because if you let NXT work, you're going to see the best wrestling for two nights over and over again.
Which is what you want. And that's how you want to debut on Peacock when you have like a live event. I couldn't agree more. Joey, I think you and I sit on different sides this one. So I want to have this discussion with you.
Yeah.
We know when the show started, right? You had all the women on the ramp, minus a couple, right? I think Joe wasn't on there. I didn't see Toni Storm on there, Mercedes Martinez, just to name a couple off the top of my head. But you had the majority of the women's roster on there, at least 20 plus women. Regal announces the tag team titles. Now, I sit on one side of the fence. I think you sit on the other, but let's talk about it. I think that the tag titles on the main roster are so watered down, are so badly handled, that I thought this was a unique opportunity to elevate NXT superstars into main household names if they aren't already, right? What cooler way than to run little invasion angles or little, showing up on shows unexpected and things like that? What better way to do that to capitalize on some of these newer signees and these names that aren't known to the more casual fan? Then utilize that.
Yeah.
That's the way, in my opinion, that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I am super excited to see what the quote unquote NXT handling is of the tag titles, but I still think it was a missed opportunity to try to salvage what the crap was on the main roster. So I just want to hear what you're thinking.
Yeah. So I don't think I disagree with you. I just think I'm okay with them adding the championships to NXT. I think they could have did it differently for sure. I think they could have had, if you're going to give them tag titles, just have Dakota and Raquel win them. Like, what was the point of giving them a title shot for the main roster women's tag titles and then losing and then just giving them the NXT tag titles? Like, that was just poorly done on my end. I think your idea of them winning the initial tag titles and then like showing up on Raw or showing up on SmackDown or vice versa is a better idea, especially take advantage of the time that you're all in the same state, not traveling. I think that would have been good. I agree with your point, but I'm okay with them adding the titles down there. I know a lot of people say too many titles, it can get hectic, but I think we had went over it last week a little bit. They have so much women's talent down in NXT. They could look already. They made use of it with a form tag team, Shotzi and Ember, right? So now, whether they continue that run with them until they go up to the main roster, now we have another form tag team of them two a proven tag team down in NXT that can move up. And when we're looking for legitimate women's tag teams, we have them. We can start forming them down in NXT to move up to the main roster. I think that's like their main goal at this point, but I don't know.
And I get that, B. And you know what gets me a little nervous too is like, now you have women's tag titles. You have the women's championship. You have the North American championship. You have the NXT Cruiserweight championship. You have the NXT men's championship, right? That's a lot of titles. Yeah. It's a show once a week. There's no second show. It's not a 3-hour show. Something's going to have to give, right? If you want to make sure that these titles are held in high regard and you want to make sure that these titles are shown the prestige that they're supposed to be and given the time and the storylines and the support, you now have a hell of a lot that you're going to have to juggle once a week, 2 hours a week. That scares me a little bit.
I think good point, but I think we're accustomed to having to showcase every title every week because we see 3 hours of Raw and two-hour show of SmackDown.
You know what I mean?
What happened?
Look how bad Raw handles it. And
yeah.
You can argue.
That extra hour is killer, though. I think that's really the culprit, really. Not so much of...
No, but what I was getting at is like 1 week, and I think the lack of seeing... see how we the NXT championship isn't always showcased on the show. Like 1 week, it'll be them like ending the show, but the next week it could be the Cruiserweight championship main eventing the show, where I feel like, to me, in my opinion, if we see the feuds growing every week, it can almost get watered down in that sense. Where like 1 week, Cole and Finn, I'm just giving an example. It doesn't have to say it happened, but like Finn and Cole are ending the show. And then the next week, Escobar and his challenger are ending the show. Like you can wiggle the room with that and not have to worry about every week focusing on every title. I think not seeing them, these certain guys every week, makes that show better. I don't know.
Well, hear me on this one. I like your thought, but I think that works when you have the right champions, right? When you want to build a star that's not a star already, when you want to elevate a talent that's not elevated already. Finn Balor, that works for Joey, right? Finn Balor is a household name. He doesn't need to be on the show week. He's that special. Johnny Gargano is that special. Io Shirai is that special. But when you start changing champions, when you start doing things a little bit differently to try to elevate, that thought may not lend to exactly as you're kind of laying it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But boys, I want to open this up to you guys. I like to sort of challenge Joey a little bit because he said he didn't sleep too much tonight. So I want to see how much on his toes, but he was ready. He was ready. And I appreciate that.
Always ready.
So Noodles, I'm sure you have something to add to it. And Tom, I definitely want to hear your point.
Yeah, Tommy, you go first, bud.
Champions, or maybe the tag titles is not needed, or however you feel.
I mean, at this point, I personally think maybe they did that. So they don't have any more, I don't say, you know, invasions of the main roster down in NXT. Maybe they just wanted the women to be down there, like their own type of thing. You know what I mean? Like have the women win their titles, you know, the women's title, the women's tag team titles, maybe kind of like do something like that. Because as we know, the main roster women's right now haven't been the greatest, unfortunately. I mean, no, you got Charlotte Flair and Asuka teaming up, and, you know, we knew that wasn't going to last. Even though Asuka's been hurt for a little bit, you know, her tooth came flying out, whatever. But I think maybe they just want to have like a concentrated title down there for the women of the NXT. Because, you know, there's a lot of tag team, women tag team. I mean, even though, you know, what's her name's hurt, you know, Casey. Kayden, you know, they like they were up for, you know, a big push or whatever. That unfortunately, she got hurt. But I think they just wanted like a title for the women down there. And because, you know, like we said, those aren't household names to be on, you know, the women's tag team for, you know, Raw and SmackDown, obviously, you know what I mean? So I think they just wanted that for there down there and go from there. But that's personally why I think they did it. Maybe they had other reasons, but maybe that was the reason they did it.
Okay. Do you see my point when I'm saying now you have so many titles down there? How are they going to give enough time to everyone one time a week, 2 hours, 2 hours a show? Because in my opinion, I think once NXT went to USA, I think I still love it, right? It's still one of my favorite things to watch. But you can say that the show changed going to USA. It wasn't the same, like it didn't give you the same, I guess, feels that it did when before it went just on the network. That's just my opinion. So I guess with now having all these titles, right? And everyone loves gold, right? We all love gold. But is it too much gold?
I mean, I'm gonna say if there's one guy that could pull off, it's Triple H. It's not the people running Raw. You know what I mean? As we've seen, they've misstep after misstep. So I think Triple H, he'll figure it out. The guy's been killing it down in NXT for what, 10 years, whatever is that's been his baby. So I think he'll definitely he'll have to, like, you know, manage it somehow, but I think he'll be able to do it. So I have full faith in him. I really, you know, let's give it a shot, see what he's gonna do with it. But I think it's gonna be a good thing. I really do.
Okay. All right, Noodles, anything to add to the conversation around this point?
I don't think it's too much gold at all, to be honest. I truly believe that. I think a lot of people under feel about how big NXT is, to be honest. I think it's legitimately the best wrestling in the game right now. Mm-hmm. And I think they're building their own brand to be their own separate entity. I think when you mention in AEW and you mention in WWE, you're going to be mentioned NXT as the three big players in wrestling. And I think they have so much talent down there. And like you alluded to before, Jerry's with the only 2-hour show, by having a tag team championships for the females, right? You're able to showcase four girls every single time when they do decide to wrestle. Right. So if they're able to intertwine and mix and match different wrestlers, they're showcasing all the females at a higher clip than all the other shows are. And I think it gives them a more seasoning to develop and more opportunities to do whatever they want to do, whether they want to call people up or keep them down there. But the show is sublime in every single way. And I feel like any opportunity where you can put gold on people, but also be able to showcase others in such a short window, right? Because there is only one NXT show. So it's not like they have SmackDown to rely on to add other people over there. You know, they got to find ways to be able to showcase as much talent as possible.
Okay. Listen, I respect the hell out of everyone's opinions. I think it's a cool topic.
But I do understand where you're coming from. I totally get that.
For sure. Well, listen, I got to give you the hard hitting questions, right? I can't be a good journalist. Nothing makes me happier than seeing Joey get tongue tied, but the man does.
You got my point.
No, absolutely. So I thought that was there. Another big moment, obviously, I want to kind of talk about is Io Shirai and Toni Storm. Boys, are you kidding me? I mean, this match, in my opinion, just absolutely delivered. I mean, when does Io Shirai not come out and give you like a 5-star match? And Toni Storm elevated herself to the top echelon of women wrestling, period.
The only thing that bothered me about that match, Jerz, is just I felt like they should have went longer. I think they should have went longer because they're so good. I mean, why not let them go? You know what I mean? Like, that's a pay-per-view caliber match.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the time was given was good. I get what you're saying. It could have maybe, you know, developed a little bit more over a couple more minutes. But I think when you watch the match, in my opinion, from bell to bell, and you see the story that they told in the match, I think they accomplished.
It's great. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I just like when two of the best at what they do, I feel like you should always get more time.
Nothing wrong with one more. Nick, I don't blame you. I can see that Tony's the apple of your eye or the your eye.
It's always Tony time. Tony time should be 2 hours, in my opinion, but that's just me.
Besides wanting more time, I mean, first of all, this feud is fantastic. Their chemistry was great.
Oh, it's awesome.
What else could you, I mean, besides wanting time, anything else that you could have hoped for differently in this match? I mean, we're going to get more of this. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's really the only thing you could take away from is hope that it's not the last time. You know what I mean? Like that this goes a little bit further and it might be it, but unfortunately, but I think it still leaves the window open to revisit down the line because someone's got to take the title off Io. She's had it for a long, long time.
Well, she's had it since In Your House, I believe, which was most stressful. So. I think we're coming up on a year on her title reign, but you can't say it was title reign.
No, it's been incredible. It's been incredible.
With pride. I mean the work that she puts in, man. Oh my God, she elevates.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's a special talent.
But they're all amazing down there. That's the part. It doesn't matter what direction they go in. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of special and elevation, I mean, let's go to the main event, boys. Adam Cole, Finn Balor. This is not just an NXT takeover match. This is a main event of WrestleMania type match, these two, right? I'm watching these guys and I'm like, I can't believe it's Wednesday night. God, we're so lucky. Joe, tough, right? Finn Balor was handled so perfectly with his return to NXT. Yeah. I don't think he handled it any better than to re-elevate him. And to be quite honest, I think he's better now than he was his first run. And not that I love the demon, right? We love the theatrics, but you can honestly say character, wrestling, attitude, everything about him. He is at the top of his game. He's never been at this point in NXT or WWE at any point.
Most well-rounded by far. I agree 100%.
Adam Cole is something that is a generational talent, I'd want to say. You don't get a character like that often. He is like the Shawn Michaels of today. I know that. you give homage to legends, not Nick. Obviously, he's more of a legend killer or a legend hater. He's the legend hater.
Only one.
But Joey, I mean, this match, you know, I know we spoke about a couple shows ago that we thought that it was going to be probably a takeover, but we got it early, but that's okay. We see where it's going to lead to. Finn Balor got the win. Looks like Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole have a date at TakeOver WrestleMania week. But I guess me asking you, what do you think of this main event and where do you think the direction that they're going now? Because it looks like we have Karrion Kross involved.
Yeah, I think the insertion of Kyle O'Reilly back so soon, I thought was actually kind of threw me off. I thought he was going to be out for a decent amount of time, so that was pretty cool. He looked like a badass. He looked like he's ready to go. Mm-hmm. I still think there's a possibility we see Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roddy like in a three-way at TakeOver. I'm not going to throw it out the window yet. Just the thought of mine.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Like Roddy is still involved in this somehow. He got turned on by Cole. Like, why wouldn't he? Maybe leading up to it, we'll get a Cole Roddy match. I'm not sure, but I think the ultimate payoff obviously is Kyle versus Cole. So, I mean, the match is fantastic. Those two, like you said, it's a main event, potentially main roster main event at some point down in the future. So, it was cool to see it on USA on the weekly television show. But Karrion Kross showing up at the end, him and Finn, I think we all like we've been waiting for this. And I know we said we haven't seen the Demon in a while. I think it's a possibility we might see him. I'm not sure. Do we know? I know we talked about TakeOver two nights before, but do we know if any of the nights are going to be at Raymond James Stadium, or are they just
They didn't say in the promo, so maybe that'd be a little surprise. I mean, I'd love for them to do that. That'd be very cool to see.
Yeah, it'd be cool. So if they're able to pull off like a night two main event. On Peacock, Cross versus Finn to end the night, and like Finn comes out as a demon. I'm not sure how they're going to work the story, so I'm not going to jump to the gun and say the demon's going to come back. But if Scarlett does her things and Cross plays that kind of guy, I think it's as long as we haven't seen him in this character as the demon, I think it's a possibility he could come back. No one's ever said it wasn't going to happen again, so until Finn says it's done, then I'm going to wait and see. So I'm excited to see how they book that angle. And I mean, it's two top competitors. That's another, I talk about a main event of WrestleMania or that week. That's it right there.
Another one. And it's so crazy. It was all been made the comment to Cross, like, I've been waiting, or it's about time.
What took you so long?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what a line drop. No, right? I
wasn't scared at all. Karrion Kross is a monster.
And I can't wait for WrestleMania week. It's going to be fantastic. But boys, NXT, AEW, it delivered this week for damn sure. We got a new Four Horsemen. We got tag titles. We got Cross Balor. We got Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole coming. I mean, Io Shirai and Toni Storm put on a show. What is going on right now on Wednesdays? It's hard to keep up with, man. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, and
I think it's a five horseman, right? I think it's a five horseman now.
Technically 60. I can't tell you.
I'm not counting Tully. I don't count 67-year-old men.
We'll see. We'll see what they come up with. But sticking with WrestleMania week, they announced the Hall of Fame for this year, boys. Which is great news.
Can you run by all the names, Joe? I missed most of them, I think.
From last year's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, both classes, to be honest.
Yeah, so right now, well, they didn't announce the whole class for this year.
Oh, okay.
So, but they did announce on the bump that we're getting a Hall of Fame ceremony 2020. They're going to give us 2020's class and then the 2021 class. And last year's class, I believe I have written down here, the Bellas, Batista, the NWO, JBL, the British Bulldog, and Jushin Thunder Liger. So, I mean, that's a hell of a class on its own.
That's a monster class, no question.
So, they really missed out last year with not having the Hall of Fame. And I think adding this year's class, Now, the first announcement was Molly Holly, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think definitely well deserved on her part as a women's wrestler growing up in that time, where women's wrestling wasn't looked at as it is now. So she was definitely ahead of her time in that regard. Do they go big for this class? So now you got to think, first of all, we all know Hall of Fame ceremonies, they drag a little bit, right?
They could take a while.
And the list I just popped off there, it's a long list. A lot of guys that have potential to have long speeches. Now you go into this and you got to think, like, Batista is the main name you'd say out of that. You could argue the NWO too.
Obviously. The NWO should be, but yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like single.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Do they bring in another big name like that? Or they kind of keep it like to the Molly Holly level, mid card level of Hall of Famers? Noodles, what do you think? Just because.
Me personally, I would stay away from another megastar, to be honest. I would round it out with solid deserving candidates for, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 more people. And you have, you know, your big ceremony, but let Batista and the NWO get their well-deserved because they are headliners.
Yeah.
And then next year when things are better and things are improving and you have a normal WrestleMania and a normal WrestleMania weekend with full crowds, I would, you know, then you can go down the road of a mega headliner again. I just wouldn't overdo it with the mega headliners. Let everyone get their deserving time.
Let's be honest, boys. You know where Mania is next year, right?
I forget.
It's in Dallas. You know who lives in Texas, right?
Yes, we do.
The Undertaker. And I think it's a lock. He should just be by himself.
I was about to say, yes, he should definitely
just give him the 4-hour Hall of Fame ceremony alone.
Yeah. Well, his entrance is going to be about 15 minutes. So he's going to get a full hour himself.
Yeah.
You know, cause you know, he's going to ride that speech and we all know he's the most respected, possibly the most respected wrestler of all time. So
yeah.
He'll get his due and he should be the headliner of his own class and nothing rushed or have to squeeze it in just because of the times, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, anyone you guys would, I know this is kind of off the cuff. I didn't really prepare you guys for this question, but anyone else you want to see added to this year's Hall of Fame class, Tom?
Oof.
Can you think of anybody? I know it's kind of quick. I don't really have anyone written down. I just kind of
Christian.
Christian, right? Yeah, that'd be something. Jeez.
Is there anyone we haven't seen inducted yet? I wish I prepared better for this question. I kind of wrote it down. I was like, I don't even have anybody that I think.
Mark Henry's in? Is he in already?
No.
That'd
be a good name.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. I mean, we do know Big Show and Christian are both going to get in at some point, but they're not going to get in anytime soon with their AEW stuff. But those guys are deserving candidates. I felt like Big Show was overdue for a while.
Yeah,
you know, considering he doesn't really wrestle as much anymore.
No, Mark Henry is in it.
I think he is. I'm sorry,
he is, because remember he made the speech and then he called out Owen Hart's wife.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
That was bold, man.
That's right.
Very emotional. Because Big Show inducted, I think, Henry. If I'm correct, I could be wrong. Anyone else?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think if they give out a Warrior Award, I think Shad Gaspar would be the appropriate.
Yeah, no question. For that. Not even debatable.
What happened there? But I love. I mean, we hinted at, like,
they have put so many people in already, so it's like it's hard to remember off the cuff who's in, who's not, and some names you haven't heard in a while. I'm sure there's plenty of deserving people out there that, you know, deserve their due diligence.
Yeah, and with such a big class carrying over from last year, I don't think you really need to make it 4-5 more names like the usual class would be. So, like, if Molly Holly is one of, like, 3 or 2, I think I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think three would be the perfect, right? I mean, you have one, if you announce one more this week and then one more next week, it pretty much brings you right to Mania, so.
Yeah,
and I mean, we said it already, I love WrestleMania week, man. You have the go home shows for the TV shows, and then you have the Hall of Fame takeover. It's just a fun week.
A special weekend, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm excited. I love the Hall of Fame. I know people get bored with it, but I love hearing stories from the wrestlers from our time. Now we NWO, Batista, yeah. JBL.
And they're in the process of building their own real Hall of Fame though now, right?
Yeah, I think we had announced that
which is gonna be great, because that's something that, you know, we take a boys trip to the real Hall of Fame and see all those artifacts and the history of it and appreciate it, you know, bringing back to all our childhood guys and all the way from now. I mean, we've seen a long run of wrestling.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, so.
Cena's a big name that's going to be getting in at some point, I would think, in the next couple of
years. We don't know if he's even officially retired yet. You could even do guys, you know, they did DX. Guys like Road Dogg or X-Pac can go in by themselves. you could do like, if you're looking for names, like quick hitters, like you can take factions that went in and kind of do like solo acts as Hall of Famers. I don't know. They could definitely work it out. I know I just read for WrestleMania, actually sticking with WrestleMania, the WWE is going to try to get 45,000 fans. I think Tom, you had sent that in the group chat. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty interesting. They're trying to go bigger. That's
a pretty good size number. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Hopefully everyone stays safe and, you know, does the right thing. But, I think it's a big thing for Mania, especially that week, two nights, 45,000 fans each. I'm excited for that. Staying with out of the ring stuff here. Andrade requested his release from the WWE. Ultimately he got denied. So I'm not sure if they're going to start using him now or what they have planned for him going forward. But I think it's definitely an interesting scenario where I assume like guys like him, Aleister Black, and people that we say names every week that are underutilized are looking for a way out. Maybe, I don't know where their head's at, but seeing what's going on down south and other places, you have to think to believe that they're trying to get on TV somehow, like they're losing exposure this way. So I don't know what they have planned for Andrade by denying his release, but if they don't use him, that's kind of fucked up in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's majorly fucked. I really don't understand when you have unhappy, disgruntled employees who want to get released and you're not using them. You would think that you'd be in agreement with that and let the guy go. You don't have to pay him anymore. You save your own resources. I don't understand, but I never could wrap my head around holding somebody back from pursuing happiness in life. I mean, I think that's really fucked up to do that to people.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there and you don't want to use them. Then what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
paying them for nothing?
Yeah.
All right, great. It's nice that you're paying them for nothing, but guys want to do stuff with their life. People might rather take other opportunities and now they're over there. What are you afraid that someone else is going to go somewhere else and be a star because you can't figure out what to do with them? Shame on you. You shouldn't deprive someone something, an opportunity in their life because, you know, you can't come up with anything creative. That's bullshit.
So I guess it's kind of a question we probably won't have an answer to, but like, how can you deny someone quitting work?
I don't understand it. I really don't.
It's odd.
What if you just said, fuck it, I'm not going to come to work? What are you going to do? You're going to fire him? Right?
Exactly.
So like, if he just stopped showing up, you're going to keep paying him? Just stop being an asshole and then maybe you'll get released.
Yeah,
but then he won't pay him. Say, oh, you're violating your contract. Like, there's always a loophole McMahon has on all these talents where, like, if they try to get payback with him, like, he's got three other avenues where he could fuck them. It's bullshit.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know.
That's a respectful thing to do is if someone asks for their release, you grant it. That's what you do as an authentic, genuine human being. For all the real good stories you hear about McMahon and how he cares a lot about some of the wrestlers, you hear these stories where it's like he won't grant them this. It's like,
and
which guy is it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Who would have thought like Charlotte Flair's fiance would have issues like this?
You thought he'd be pushed to the moon and everything.
Everyone thinks she's like the God's gift over there. And like, she gets so many title chances. Like, you think she'd have a high regard. And like, her fiance is looking to get released. I don't know. It's definitely interesting. Again, nothing.
And we know he's not the only one, right? I mean, there's plenty more, I'm sure. There's no question about it.
Nothing was ever actually reported by WWE, obviously. So, I mean, again, I guess you could say this is still all like rumored, but it's still being talked about by known dirt sheets, I guess.
You've seen it all over the place. It's out there.
Yeah. So we'll see. Listen, Raw and SmackDown this week, I got to say, between us guys, wasn't really entertaining to me. I don't know if you got anything stuck out for you guys. A lot of repeat stuff heading into Fastlane. It looks like with Drew and Sheamus, we got a no DQ match, and it ended with the ref stoppage. Do you think this could potentially carry over to Mania, or are we going to get this eventually ending and then Drew moving on to back to where he should be? Tommy.
I mean, I could see it carrying over to Mania because, you know, the way the ref stopped it, like you said, and everything. So I doubt they're going to do something in Fastlane, maybe to sell, you know, the injuries, whatever type of thing. So I don't think they're going to be there at Fastlane. But maybe, you know, they come back and maybe they have, like, I mean, I don't know.
Matches before Mania and then have.
Yeah, I mean, like, they could do, like, a no-holds-barred match or whatever, just, like, finally put this thing to bed. But, I mean, I really don't know what they could do with it at this point. I mean, you figure True, it's got to get back in the title picture eventually. Maybe they have that for him after Mania. I don't know, or see what happens. But it's just, I don't know. Yeah.
What do they have going on right now with Lashley? right at this moment. He beat Miz again, right?
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen with him. Yeah. Yet. So he's kind of, what did you see his entrance though? That was fucking sick.
He's awesome, man.
The
rejuvenation of Bobby Lashley's career has been awesome to see.
That's another reason why, I love Drew. I want him to get his moment, but I almost kind of want to see Lashley ride this, man.
Well, then they got to keep Drew out of it then. Let him wrestle Sheamus or whatever and bring someone that, you know, Lashley could have a nice little feud with or whatever. But there's not a lot of believability characters they've created over the last few months that can go against Lashley and have a shot.
You know what? You know what's going to happen, though, right?
The Beast?
He's got to come back, dude.
You got to think. It's got to be something. Yeah.
We need it. I think everyone needs
it. I would love to see Lesnar toss Lashley. I don't know.
No.
Absolutely.
And just one other thing from Raw. We talked about it last week, and you may be shocked, but I'm kind of getting a little skeptical about this whole Bray thing.
Yeah.
I'm getting worried now.
Oh, the panic button. Are you hitting the panic button? Yeah.
I'm not hitting the button yet. I'm not hitting the button
yet. The finger's on it.
I'm about 3 inches
hovering. You're hovering.
Because this is the fifth time. I'm not counting exactly, but a lot of times that we've seen Alexa come out and
it's been at least 3 straight weeks in a row, at least 3 straight weeks that I can remember off the top of my head.
And listen, we've said it before and we'll say it again. Nothing wrong with seeing Alexa on our screen every week doing what
not
she's
ever,
doing.
Not ever in any way.
I mean, she's been carrying this whole freaking thing for the last 3 months. I mean, she's
It's not Randy's fault either. He's doing
He's doing a great job and Bliss has been killing it. They've kept it interesting and captivating all this time, but the guy's got to show up now.
The delivery of everything that's being done is being done properly.
Randy's losing a match every week. Fucking unbelievable.
How many times can this guy throw up black shit?
Yeah.
So maybe change it up that part.
Unless there's a little fire this way that he might get burned this time around. I agree. You got to mix it up.
And I hope they have a plan. That's my only. You know how WWE works. I hope they have a fucking plan, man.
I mean, the way they teased it last week, you know, when she's doing the Jack in the Box and she, you know,
she's getting close to opening it. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, not yet. So maybe hopefully, you know, this week or whenever.
Don't blow it at Fastlane. That's all I'm asking for. Do not blow it at Fastlane.
It's going to be blown at Fastlane.
I mean, I don't know what they can do. They just another time they backed themselves into a corner. I mean, has he been hurt? I mean, I haven't seen anything. I mean, maybe he just wanted this time off, but it's just like
he gets a lot of time though.
I know we need him back.
I mean, I know a couple times he's gotten hurt. Don't get me wrong, but like he's got a Lesnar Undertaker schedule. Man, it's pretty remarkable. You know,
that's what you get when you're IRS's son, brother. Come on,
exactly. Listen, I love Bray, dude. I'm a full Bray supporter. I love all his work. It's just disappointing you don't get to see him in the way that you want to or should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
And he certainly doesn't get treated like he should, that's for sure.
We'll see. I mean, it's hard. It's not like NXT where we have faith in Triple H. It's Vince now and Bruce and whoever else is running the show.
Brother Love, fucking that ship sailed a long time ago with the city of Philadelphia.
And the one thing on SmackDown, just watching it last night, that stuck out with me. I'm at a point where Daniel Bryan is making a case for me to, and I'm, you know, you guys know I'm an edge guy, right? He's making a case for me to maybe believe that he can be in this match at WrestleMania and win.
Maybe they do that.
And
it would be amazing.
It may not make sense right now, but if you guys saw SmackDown last night, dude, he's back to like me.
He's killing it, bro.
At like WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan and shit. So I don't know.
He's a special talent, man. When it comes to, you know, buying into whatever he's selling.
I also
talking shit. It was awesome, man. It was great.
I also don't think they have enough guys on the main roster to fulfill two nights worth of WrestleMania. So I also worry about him and like Jey Uso doing something at WrestleMania. That's unfortunate too.
They've been wrestling every week now, though. It's got a little much.
Yeah. So we'll
Jey Uso is doing great shit too. No disrespect to Jey.
Dude,
killing it, man. For his role, he really is.
And look at this, boys. Edge the legend comes back on SmackDown every week. And guess what, guys? He's fighting on SmackDown next week against Jey Uso.
Yeah. Main evented. Unbelievable.
If there's someone that came back to wrestling and looked as a legend and like a retired person, he's doing everything the opposite of like Goldberg and Lesnar and all these other guys.
He's putting in the do, man. He's going on a real run.
I love it. I love everything about it. That's why he has so much respect. And that's why he also could win the belt. And I know Roman's doing his thing right now. We all know that. Yeah, we say it every week. But I think there's got to be one guy to take it off him. I mean, maybe it's not yet. Maybe Roman comes out on top, which I'm cool with. Also, I guess any options. If we go into that main event of WrestleMania where it's a triple threat match,
anyone who wins, we're winning
exactly. That pay-per-view.
100%.
Yep.
And shout out to Edge too, because he like, as great as his prime was, he's in the best shape of his life now than ever before.
He looks so good.
It's unfucking believable.
I don't know if he's getting a little Botox now, but he looks good in the face.
He looks great, man. Yeah. Chiseled all over. It's unbelievable.
If we were to focus on Raw and SmackDown more, it'd be very negative show. So I kind of want to just talk about
a couple the highlights.
Yeah. Or even lowlights from Raw. But listen, going into Fastlane here, we have a lot of things that could happen. We don't know where Drew and Sheamus is going. We don't know where this whole Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns thing, Edge thing is going. So we may get a culmination of Bray and Randy somehow. A lot of questions we have before Mania, which has also been brought up in the wrestling community, of Vince apparently not, they don't have a real card set up yet. But I mean, that's all speculation as well. We don't, as fans, we definitely don't know what's going to happen in Mania. Do they? I hope the company themselves knows what they're going to do for two nights worth of wrestling, the biggest show of the year.
The outline's there, I think, but you know how they are, man. They're very prone to tweaking and mixing and rotating things around. But I think the gist of what they're trying to accomplish has to be, at this stage of the game, be pretty close to being written.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see heading into Fastlane. I believe that's next week. So we'll do, we'll get into predictions when we find out the official card for Fastlane. Guys, it's been real. Let's do MVPs first. I'm sorry, before we end the show here. As we know, if you haven't heard, NJ3 has left the show before, like 15 minutes ago. His MVP was the women's division of NXT, which is great. Definitely a fair choice. Bad news. MVP of the week.
I'm going with MJF and his new stable.
Ooh.
I'm going with.
It's a solid pick. I think you got to go with that. Yeah. Nikki Noodles.
Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon winning the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship.
Yeah, it's great. A 60 minute run by Raquel and Dakota.
And Raquel's awesome, by the way. I'm a huge Raquel guy.
Yeah, and I think that's who my choice is. I think because at one NXT Women's Gold, or she didn't really win it, but she got handed to. She was an NXT Women's Champion, Tag Team Champion, and now EO is handpicking her for her next opponent. They showed her backstage. EO just walks up there. He's like, "You're next," or "I want you," whatever she said. And I was like, "Fucking
Goldberg. Got you jacked up." Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, "Goldberg." Okay. So I'm going to go over Raquel. I think, dude, if you watch Raquel work, you guys know she's the next big thing. I'm fully behind it too. She's great. Uh-huh. So shout out to Raquel. Guys, episode 46, Wrestling Journal Podcast. You guys know where to check us out. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Make up a podcast realm and we're on it. I guarantee it. And like I always say every week, if you're on Apple Podcasts, just give us a nice review, 5-star, and we'll give you a handshake if we see you. Everyone, as always, take care, stay safe, watch pro wrestling.